This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt. And this evening on the program, because it is the first Monday of the month, we have David Elliott, who will be discussing, has Obama sold out the GLBT community? And then on News Wrap tonight, Fort Worth, Texas law enforcement officials kind of roughed up a newly opened gay bar there almost 40 years to the hour after the original raid at New York City's Stonewall Inn, which was on June 28, 1969. Which, of course, sparked the modern-day GLBT liberation movement. Also, the murder of a gay sailor at a Marine base in Southern California underscores the heartless aspects of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And a National Guard administrative board has ordered the discharge of openly gay Iraq war combat veteran and Arabic linguist Lieutenant Dan Choi. And rights pioneer Frank Kemeny gets an official apology from the U.S. government 52 years after he was fired from his federal job for being gay. Then later in the hour, Tammy Nash, the senior editor of the Dallas Voice, has more about that Fort Worth gay bar raid. And by the way, the TABC administrator and the Fort Worth police chief have both pledged thorough investigations. At the top of our second hour, Josh Price, the founder of Montrose Community Meltdown. It's an 8-week weight loss challenge designed for the community. It's free and everyone is welcome to attend, especially Brian. And then at 10:22, what?
Hey now.
At 10:22, Leslie Caldwell, founder of Date Night Texas. Tired of the bars and games and looking for someone with whom you can connect? Well, seeking to establish a mature romantic relationship. Yes? Okay, Date Night Texas builds itself as fun, exciting, and results-oriented, an alternative to meeting that special someone. And then finally, in our second hour, on the feature segments from This Way Out, President Barack Obama had an interesting GLBT Pride Month, got himself in some hot water. First, he received heavy fire from equality advocates for the horribly offensive language in his Department of Justice's federal court brief supporting the Defense of Marriage Act. And then several high-profile community leaders registered their disappointment in Obama's failure to deliver on key campaign promises by boycotting an annual GLBT fundraising dinner for the Democratic National Committee. And then also, it was founded in 1979, the Herrick Martin Institute, home of the Harvey Milk School in New York City, has provided support and services to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth from all ages of 12 to 21 and their families. And This Way Out talks with Executive Director Thomas Krevner to learn more about that. That was a mouthful.
I guess that's our show tonight, huh?
Well, that's pretty much it. Yeah,
we'll fill up with it. First of all, it's all done.
Thank you.
I've done it for you.
But we have David Elliott on the phone,
don't we?
Yes, we
do.
Oh, hello there.
David. Well, David, I just want to know, since we haven't been in front of the TV in the past hour, has anybody else resigned?
Well, I haven't been in front of the TV in the past hour myself, except I was watching a little bit of baseball, and nobody resigned, Jack, from the baseball game I was watching.
Okay. Forgive you for being a baseball fan.
So, did something happen that I didn't know? Did anybody resign today?
No, nobody resigned today. We're still, you know, that we still have the shocks from last from Friday.
But the South Carolina governor is, you know, doing.
He's still
a spot
in the job.
He's still got his job, but he's going to do a spot on Travel Channel.
Well, I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
Okay, then talk to us about Washington, D.C. and what's going on.
Well, you know, Jack, it's really
interesting. It's Jennifer.
Jennifer and Jack, and who else do we have in studio?
Just the two of us so far.
Actually, David, I'm going to ask you to hang up and call back one more time. we seem to have a scratchiness in the phone line.
Okay, I'm going to call back in 5 seconds.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
Sounds great.
So yes, David's going to talk about whether the Obama administration has sold out, and I'm looking forward to that. We have a pretty busy month coming up, so we have a lot of good things scheduled in the next month. And, of course, we're also in political season. What a surprise.
Yes, we sure are. And also, we're going to have that interview with from the Fort Worth newspaper there, but next week we'll also have City Council Member Joel Burns with us
from Fort Worth. Okay, David.
Okay.
Much
is
better.
Is any better?
Yes.
Oh, better. Oh, you sound so good.
Well, fantastic. You know, I want to talk to you all tonight about an emerging controversy in the LGBT movement, both within Washington, D.C., but also nationwide.
Tell me more.
The question is this, and it's a really serious question. President Obama is moving slowly, and in some cases, if at all, to fulfill the campaign promises he made to our community when it came to really some of the fundamental issues. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat. And it's not
Ribbit?
Because of President Obama. Seriously.
You're all choked up, I understand.
And, you know, there are questions like the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, hate crimes legislation, repealing the Anti-Gay Defense of Marriage Amendment. And there were two events that took place in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of weeks that kind of speak to how various people speak to or don't speak to this friction. I mean, the fact that we have someone in the White House who, on the one hand, we consider a friend. We want to call him a friend. But on the other hand, has really let down a lot of people. So let me start out by talking about an event that happened a couple of weeks ago. There was a major fundraiser held by the Democratic National Committee. And a lot of really key lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender leaders boycotted that fundraiser. Among them, Chuck Wolf, who was president of the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, who I should say is still president of the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, and other folks like Ray Carey, executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, who I used to work for, Alan Van Capel, executive director of the Empire State Pride Agenda, which is New York State's LGBT group and one of the most powerful in the nation, Marty Rouse, National Field Director for the Human Rights Campaign, and Mary Bonaut, oh God, I butchered her name, I hope she's not listening, Bonauto, the Civil Rights Project Director at the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders Organization. They boycotted a couple of weeks ago this huge, huge fundraiser, and then last week, there was a celebration at the White House that a whole lot of people were invited to, and a lot of the same people who boycotted 2 weeks ago attended the White House celebration. For example, Chuck Wolf was there from the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, and I'm trying to find in my notes a quote that he had, and I'm kind of failing because I'm disorganized, but bear with me. At that event, President Obama sort of tried to allay criticism of his record. He said, quote, "I expect and hope to be judged not by words, not by promises I've made, but by the promises that my administration keeps." We've been in office 6 months now. I suspect that by the time this administration is over, I think you guys, will have pretty good feelings about the Obama administration. And, you know, there is a lot of mixed feeling about that.
Well, especially since that, you know, they're pushing ahead so quickly on so many other things. And the talk is about you have to get all this stuff done in the early part of the administration because later on you won't get these things done. And we have been pushed aside so many times before, we're concerned.
Well, and it's a completely... It's a completely legitimate concern, because really every single important LGBT measure that is facing action in Congress has been delayed. Now, a couple of measures might be taken up toward the second half of this year's term. Although probably not until after the August Labor Day recess, because Congress goes home in early August and they don't come back until right after Labor Day in September. But, you know, it's raising a whole lot of questions. And, you know, I want to read you a quote here from, let's see if I can find it. The executive director of the Service Members Legal Defense Network, which very pointedly declined to attend the DNC fundraiser. He declined to attend the event at the White House. And they actually brought out, the Service Member Legal Defense Network brought out about 300 people to protest in front of the White House. And the executive director, his name is Aubrey Sarvis, said, "Our message today is the president needs to act with a sense of urgency. Commitments, rhetoric is fine, but now that has to be translated into action. We call upon the president to send up specific legislative proposals to the Hill to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell." And, you know, the protesters outside the White House, they were chanting, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has got to go." And that kind of sums it up, I think. And, you know, I want to add that this business about, you know, whether Obama is moving quickly enough on LGBT rights, whether he needs to do other stuff first, the big stuff, so-called big stuff, like the clean energy bill that just passed the House and is pending in the Senate, health care reform, taking measures to address, you know, our unprecedented high unemployment rate, which I believe just hit 9.7%. All of this kind of ignores the fundamental human rights question. Can we do it all at once? Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? And maybe there's another question that needs to be asked. Who gets to be in the glass?
Well, that's true. What do you say to, you know, they did, in fact, introduce a fully inclusive INDA back in the House, last Wednesday? And this came from the legislature. Did that even have anything to do with the White House, or is the White House still standing, well, we support it if it ever gets to our desk?
It had nothing, Jennifer, it had nothing to do with the White House. Barney Frank finally, agreed to trans-inclusive legislation on INDA, and he is insisting that it is going to pass this year.
Yep, that's what he said. I heard him in an interview, and I confronted him several times in the last year.
Well, good for you. And by the way, Jennifer, that was you asking that question, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. I don't know if I'm hard of hearing or what, but sometimes I really confuse who's in the studio, and I apologize for that.
Well, and I'm here, and I'm confused half the time, too, so don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, you know, and we won't be offended.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, this question of is the glass half full or is it half empty, I am really conflicted on that. I am so cognizant of the fact that we are dealing with the worst economy, the worst recession in a century. We're dealing with the debate over health care reform and whether or not we can have quality, affordable health care reform with a public health insurance option. I know that we eventually are going to be facing skyrocketing inflation, you know, when some of the stimulus dollars, you know, start getting injected into the banking system. I know that the dollar is tanking in its value. I know that the value of homes is declining precipitously. I know that people's 401k programs are crashing. I know that we are dealing with foreign policy crises in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, Honduras now, Israel, Palestinians, Darfur. I know we're dealing with H1N1 swine flu. I know we're dealing with immigration controversies, drug trafficking, problems with Cuba. I know we're dealing with the Supreme Court nomination, you know, Sotomayor. And with all of this going on, can we hold President Obama accountable?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Is it reasonable? Well, it's got to be our dream. And it's because progressive values never advance without a dream.
Well, and also, we've put our treasure and our time on the line for him, and he did make promises to us all in the GLBT community. He said a lot of nice words, but now comes the time to move forward on some of those issues. And the fact that there are other great national and international issues in the forefront does not mean you can't move forward on some equality issues that are out there that are so blatantly wrong.
I agree with you, and yet it takes my breath away because so much has to be done. There's so much wrong that has to be addressed. You know, we're only now learning how the last administration mucked it up, and that was mucked with an M, and it's so difficult to get all of this done. And yet, Jennifer, you're entirely right. We have to keep our eye on the prize because if we drop the ball here, nobody else is going to pick it up for us.
Well, it seems like a lot of politicians, especially in our community and other communities, always use the sports metaphor, you know, moving the ball forward. The fact is that in this administration, whatever the circumstances, we need to take the opportunity to move the ball forward. We've been stopped for so many years, since 95, actually, on many of our issues. It's time to move forward.
Well, thank you. I agree. And, you know, there's one quote that I would like to read you, if I could.
Please.
It comes from a woman by the name of Marion...
You're having trouble with names tonight, aren't you?
Well, I'm having trouble with about 25 different pieces of paper. And
well, just pretend you're on Fox News and make it up.
Well, it's
make up the name, make up the quote. It just we'll do the disclaimer at the end. Some of all of the facts presented may not be true.
It's the woman from the Civil Rights Commission, who was appointed by President Clinton.
Oh, yes. I know who you're speaking about. What has she said?
For the first time in so many words, she came out. Here we go. Mary Frances Berry.
Oh, really?
And I'm just going to read you the opening paragraph of a piece she wrote.
Please.
President Obama, you are moving too slowly. Your recent actions concerning LGBT issues appear too hesitant, too tentative. You claim to be a fierce advocate for the gay community while you are campaigning for the presidency, inspiring the masses with cries of, yes, we can. Yet you seem to be foot-dragging on progress.
Hear, hear.
And that, yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Well, it's apparent in his lack of direct action. Even in his speeches, he has, except when talking to special audiences, have been hesitant in his support as he once gave us during the campaign.
By the way, Mary Frances Berry was a former chair of the Pacifica National Board.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, yes.
Well, and Jack, to follow your point, President Obama, you know, he is a extremely pragmatic,
sure, yes,
progressive, with emphasis on pragmatic and not so much on progressive. We don't know yet what we've gotten. And that's the truth.
And, there's concern about his secrecy issues that he had promised to do away with.
Oh, gosh. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't even know. I don't even want to go there. It's, yeah, some of that stuff is extremely problematic. And his compromise on the energy bill was extremely troubling. And, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what he does on health care.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, Al Franken's now there in Washington, so maybe he can help us there.
Well, that's one more vote. That's one more vote. It gets us to 60, but the number 60 is overrated.
Yes.
Because, you know, there are five or six Democrats among those 60 who are pretty conservative.
Well, and two of them are really independents, and two are rather sick.
Very ill.
Yes.
Very ill.
Well, and I saw an interview this evening before I came to the show on MSNBC that one of the independents was really chastising the Democrats, the 60, as you will, that the 60 is really only important when you want to close off debate and do cloture so that to stop the filibustering of the Republicans on some of these key issues. And it was his opinion that basically if they really believe what they believe, then they need to vote together, all 60 votes, to close off debate.
You know, that's true, but you know, you look at some of these Democrats, and, you know, right now I'm dealing with health care all the time. My organization is fighting really hard for quality, affordable health insurance for all, including a robust health insurance, a public health insurance option that will compete with the private industry. And, you know, we know we've got 50 Democrats. But some of the other Democrats are going to be a problem.
Yes, and actually, I also saw something on MSNBC today where one of the Republicans said, well, if people want health care like the federal government provides for its employees, then they all need to become federal employees.
That was Senator Grassley. I saw that.
Yeah, wasn't that incredible?
Yes, they had
Senator Grassley basically told his constituents, if you want better health care, then get a better job.
Yeah, that was compassionate conservatism.
Right. hump.
Brum-bum.
Well, David, it's very interesting this month again, as usual. Tell us what your daytime job is.
Well, I'm the communications director for a group called U.S. Action, and we are fighting for quality, affordable health care for all, including a robust public health insurance option. So if you like your doctor, you get to keep him or her. If you like your health insurance plan, you get to keep it. But if you don't like your plan or your doctor,
or don't have one,
or don't have one, or you're underinsured, then we want to give you a really good plan. And that's what the election last year was all about, folks. So that's what we're fighting for right now. Quality, affordable health care for all. And all means all, A-L-L.
And how can we contact you, David?
Well, our website is www.usaction.org.
Great. David, thank you again for joining us this month. David Elliott joins us every first Monday of the month, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Christopher David Trentum.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 4th, 2009. The Delhi High Court issued its long-awaited ruling this week on India's Penal Code Section 377, which punishes consensual adult same-gender sex with up to 10 years in prison. The judges determined that the statute violated three separate articles of the nation's constitution, those guaranteeing equality, prohibiting unfair and unreasonable treatment, and protecting individual privacy and liberty. In its decision, the court wrote that Section 377 targets the homosexual community as a class and is motivated by an animus toward this vulnerable class of people. While the Delhi High Court decision applies specifically to that Indian state, its impact is apparently nationwide. As the highest level court in the country to rule on the issue, and based on an earlier unrelated decision by India's Supreme Court about such rulings, the Delhi High Court judgment is now the law of the land. Unless it's appealed to the Supreme Court or Parliament passes a law to reinstate Section 377. LGBT activists have been struggling for the past 9 years to have the British colonial-era law banning carnal intercourse against the order of nature overturned. The NAS Foundation, a non-governmental AIDS prevention and LGBT rights organization, has led that fight. Its leader, Anjali Gopalan, praised the July 2nd ruling, telling reporters that we have finally entered into the 21st century.
The 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, which sparked the modern-day LGBT liberation movement, was celebrated on the last weekend of the traditional Pride Month of June in cities big and small around the world. India's LGBT people and their supporters anticipated the victorious Delhi High Court ruling in what were first-ever Pride marches on June 28th in many cities around the country. Waving rainbow flags, dancing, chanting queer rights slogans, and in some cases accompanied by marching bands, hundreds gathered in the nation's capital of New Delhi, while hundreds more joined parades in Kolkata, Bangalore, Bhubaneswar, and Chennai.
An estimated 12,000 people marched through Dublin city center on June 27th in the Irish capital's 26th annual Pride Parade. Its Pride and Prejudice theme celebrated lesbian and gay literary icons. The parade came in the wake of the contentious civil partnership bill, which had been published by the government the day before. It's been criticized as falling short of full equality and relegating the relationships of gay and lesbian couples to second-class status.
Hundreds of thousands took to the streets in Paris and Berlin on June 28th for those cities' traditionally colorful pride parades. U.S. diva and gay favorite Liza Minnelli briefly danced in the Paris parade ahead of her performance that night in the French capital. Organizers said about 700,000 people marched or watched, but police put the number around 200,000. Local media said about 550,000 marched in Berlin's 31st annual parade, which featured costume celebrants and at least 50 decorated floats.
Gay icon Harvey Milk's activist nephew Stuart was a special guest at Istanbul's 6th annual Pride March. According to local reports, he and another international visitor, German MP Mechthild Robert, may have helped mediate an initial problem between organizers and police officers dressed in combat gear who confronted the marchers at the beginning of the parade route. After about an hour of discussion, an estimated 3,000 LGBT activists and their friends marched peacefully down the Turkish city's central pedestrian street. A week-long series of panel discussions, award ceremonies, and film screenings preceded the June 28th parade.
The usual hundreds of thousands in more than 200 diverse contingents also celebrated Pride on June 28th at San Francisco's 39th annual parade. Thousands danced in the streets of the Castro neighborhood the day before on Pink Saturday. But in the early morning hours prior to the parade, arsonists used road flares to burn the traditional pink triangle display, a large ornamental pink fabric that's installed each year on a hill at San Francisco's Twin Peaks. The fire was extinguished about a half hour after it was reported. Police said the incident was under investigation.
And in the place where it all began, the usual mix of political activists, dazzling drag performers, and disco-blasting floats paraded up Fifth Avenue in New York City's 39th annual Pride Parade on June 28th, exactly 40 years since the original riots began at the Stonewall Inn. The celebration was tempered by frustrations with recent political shenanigans in the New York State Senate. A marriage equality bill backed by Governor David Paterson, which already passed in the Assembly, seems to have been derailed by an apparent political power play in the Senate that has left the previous Democratic majority in question.
But eight men dressed all in black assaulted the participants of a Pride literary event in the Slovenian capital of Ljubljana on June 25th. The masked assailants shouted anti-gay slogans during the attack, which took place at a cafe called Open. They also tried to burn the cafe by throwing a torch into the room. Prominent journalist and equality activist Mitya Blazik was treated for cuts on his head and burns on his neck from the torch, which his attackers also used to beat him. Amnesty International called on government authorities to conduct a prompt, independent, impartial, and thorough investigation of the incident and to bring those responsible to justice. The literary event was part of a week of activities leading up to the city's Pride March, which was supported by the Slovenian foreign minister and the city's mayor.
And in an ironic and ugly twist on Pride back in the U.S., officers from the Fort Worth Police Department and the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission raided a newly opened gay bar almost 40 years to the hour after the June 28, 1969 raid on New York City's Stonewall Inn erupted into queer activism. Seven customers of the Rainbow Lounge, which had been open for less than 2 weeks, were arrested for allegedly being drunk. Several customers were also roughed up, and one young man, Chad Gibson, was hospitalized with what was said to be a life-threatening blood clot on his brain after being shoved against a wall. Police officials said customers made sexually explicit advances toward the officers, and one claimed that he had been groped. But Rainbow Lounge owner J.R. Schrock was appalled by those allegations. "We're gay," he said, "but we're not dumb." City and state officials have called for a thorough investigation of the incident. At last report, Gibson is said to be recovering and could be released from the hospital sometime soon.
A gay African-American sailor, Navy Seaman August Provost III, was murdered this week at the Marine Corps base at Camp Pendleton, north of San Diego. The 29-year-old native of Houston, Texas, was serving sentry duty when he was shot 3 times. Family members said the Navy told them that his hands and feet were bound, his mouth gagged, and his body had been burned. Military officials said it was a random act of violence, but family members say Provost told them he was being harassed for being gay, and activists are calling the murder a possible hate crime. Provost's partner in Houston, Cather Cordero, said that under the U.S. military's don't ask, don't tell policy, their relationship had to be kept secret. Cordero only learned about the sailor's death when reporters contacted him for comment. And a National Guard administrative board recommended this week that Lieutenant Dan Choi, the Iraq War combat veteran and Arabic language specialist who came out on cable TV's The Rachel Maddow Show, should be discharged for violating Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That process requires further administrative action, which could take anywhere from a few weeks to a year. Choi said that the discharge would amount to his being fired for nothing more than telling the truth about who I am.
But finally, after 52 years, the U.S. government has apologized to groundbreaking gay activist Frank Kameny for firing him from his federal astronomer's job in 1957 solely because he was gay. His termination prompted Kameny to file the first gay employment rights case in U.S. history, which he eventually lost. President Barack Obama acknowledged Kameny among the guests at his White House Pride reception on June 29th. We'll have more about that event right after NewsWrap. The Office of Personnel Management, now headed by openly gay John Barry, delivered an official letter of apology to Kameny earlier in the week, along with its highest honor, the Theodore Roosevelt Award. Barry asked Kameny in the letter to please accept our apology for the consequences of the previous policy of the United States government, and please accept the gratitude and appreciation of the United States Office of Personnel Management for the work you have done to fight discrimination and protect the merit-based civil service system. Kameny's house is a District of Columbia historic landmark because it was the epicenter of many early gay rights efforts. More than 70,000 of his movement-related documents reside at the Library of Congress. Some of Kameny's activist materials are also on display at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History, the same collection that houses Jackie Kennedy's inaugural gown, Thomas Jefferson's writing desk, and the ruby red slippers that Dorothy wore on her way to meet the wizard.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending July 4th, 2009. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Christopher David Trenton.
The way he walks in a room makes me weak in my knees. Something about the way he smiles at me and my heart skips a beat. Something about the way he holds my hand and everything gets hazy. There's just something about the way he looks at me. Something I can feel but I just can't see. And what it all comes down to is the guy just drives me crazy. He just drives me crazy. Out of my mind like a jukebox in July. He's got me walking on air and I swear there's a fair chance that I could fly. He just drives me crazy. And I got a feeling we're dealing with love. Take it slow. He drives me crazy. And I wonder, does he know? Touch that moves me so much I just tremble inside. Something about the way he greets me sweetly with arms open wide. Something about the way he calls my name and I wilt like a daisy. There's just something about the way he looked last night. Something in the way that he held me tight. And what it all comes down to is the guy just drives me crazy. He just drives me crazy. Out of my mind like a jukebox in July. He's got me walking on air and I swear there's a fair chance that I could fly. He just drives me crazy. I got a feeling
we're dealing with love, take it slow. He drives me crazy, and I wonder, does he know? I can't sleep at night, he consumes my dreams. I got no appetite, and something inside me screams. He just drives me crazy, out of my mind like a June bug in July. He's got me walking on air, and I swear there's a fair chance that I could fly. He just drives me crazy, and I got a feeling we're dealing with love, take it slow. He drives me crazy, and I wonder, does he know? He just drives me crazy, and I wonder, does he know?
That was Randall Walker from a demo produced last year, and I gather not released. The name of the cut, He Drives Me Crazy.
We're supposed to wear costumes to the KPFT auction. It's a wear that funky costume kind of thing. Fabulous prizes will be awarded to the most awesome, weird, provocative, strange, ecstatic, unemployed, disastrous moment collage of creativity ever put on the KPFT listener body. If decorating your body isn't enough, you could buy a table and decorate it too. Place elephants, giraffes, gorillas, monkeys, lions, cats, cardboard cutouts, posers, fake pirates, runaway radios, ex-spouses, sod, trees, airplanes, boats, trains, surgeons, giant squids, and useless junk on your table. Eat around it, drink around it, share what it means with you. It may be therapeutic, but probably not. More likely just embarrassing. But if you take the grand prize home, who cares? Saturday evening, July 18th, KPFTauction.org. Be there. KPFT, kicking intolerant butt for over 30 years.
You're listening to KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM.
And this is Queer Voices. Coming up next on Queer Voices, the senior editor of the Dallas Voice, Tammy Nash. But first, this.
I come here to bury my dead, to empty my head. Instead, I find myself painting it black. I'm so low. You're the top of the stack. Never occurred to me, oh, to put you back. I don't care.
another unreleased demo recording, that one by Houston artist Mike Ator, and the title Caveman. This is Queer Voices.
Well, we are in the
Who
month.
Who are you?
My name is Brian Lemieke, and
this is Jennifer Renee.
I was going to introduce our guest. We are in the month of July, and this is the heat of swimsuit and pool party season. So our next guest has a method to get us in shape.
Yes, I've been working 5 months to be bikini ready.
We have
that's awesome.
Josh Price.
Hey, you guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Very good.
Awesome.
Well, so you just recently started a new program, or?
Sure did. We actually just started a free community event. It's called the Montrose Community Meltdown. And basically, what the Montrose Community Meltdown is all about is it's a free community event that's designed with the community in mind. And our whole goal and premise behind this meltdown challenge is to kind of whip our community into
shape.
Exactly.
Changing. Are you saying that we're not in shape?
Yeah, I was going to say, are we not in shape?
You know, as Houstonians, I think we have a bad reputation just as being one of those fattest cities in America. So we are trying
to. I think I heard that. We worked hard for that title. That took many years of building restaurants and eating.
There was a lot of fast food we had to eat to get there.
I was one of those.
You know, we weren't like number two, but then we became number one. You know, I'm glad we.
We're number one.
That's right. I can.
You know, it's amazing how everyone's weight can fluctuate over time. You guys, the reason why I kind of started this event is back in 2004, I actually decided to take a huge challenge personally, and I ended up coming out. And
we love that.
Coming out as being overweight?
Coming out as being gay, actually.
Oh,
so,
okay.
This was
that's why you're on this show.
Well, you know, it was a very emotional time for me, and, you know, it was one thing to come out, and it was so hard. I was raised Southern Baptist.
Oh, no.
Lord, let me tell you the story.
Bless you.
Tell us the baggage.
I'm telling you. My grandpa was a Southern Baptist minister, uh-huh. and still is. So, you know, bless his heart, you know, good guy. But I've lost a lot of family members and friends over this. That caused me to go into stress and emotional eating. And that put me from being, you know, size 34 waist into, I'm not afraid to admit it, but a size 42 waist now. So, as you can imagine, a huge jump.
Yeah.
Working in television and production, I worked in television, started my television career back in 2004, and working 16 hours a day, mm-hmm. sitting at a desk all day. You guys can kind of relate.
Oh, yes.
You know,
certainly
you guys are
can.
Behind the mic, you know,
yeah.
all the time sitting down. So, I decided, you know, once I came out, I sheltered myself. I went almost back into a place where I didn't want to be. I wasn't the same person who I thought I was going to be when I came out because I turned to the emotional eating and just ballooned up. And that's how I kind of just, you know, erased the losing families and friends. So,
eating your feelings.
Exactly.
Eating your feelings. Many of us do that through stress.
Absolutely.
And it's especially so right now with the economy the way it is and pressure and stress
food,
around work.
Macaroni
you know, that
cheese,
comfort food.
Parties, summertime.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, we can just go on and
pizza.
On.
Pizza.
Absolutely.
Food is so good.
Yeah, it is. Oh. So we did start this Montrose Community Meltdown Challenge, and we actually launched it tonight, you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. I was looking at that, and I have gotten some of the emails from you or from your organization about that, but it was tonight. So,
how did it go?
Tonight was amazing. We actually, all the participants were able to hear from all of the guest speakers that we have coming up in the Meltdown Challenge. We actually originally were going to do a 12-week challenge. We did lessen that to 8 weeks just due to scheduling conflicts, that sort of thing.
Okay.
But these members are still going to benefit just as they would if it was 12 weeks. Tonight we heard from all the guest speakers. We had the panelists that came out motivated, inspired, and drove everybody just into a better way of feeling about themselves. They're excited about this event. They are ready to get started. People were running home and ready to clean out their pantry cabinets.
Okay, so it started tonight.
Yes.
So what's going to be the activity? How are we going to do this? How are we going to melt down?
How are we going to do this? Exactly.
We're going to close all the fast food places in Houston.
No, you know, they might hate me for that afterwards.
No, we would never do that.
You know, basically, it's going to work by the honor system. Everyone's going to basically, each week, they're going to weigh themselves in. Tonight, what we did is we split every participant into a team. We assigned a team leader, if you will, team captain. And that team captain's going to be responsible for getting everyone's weights in for the next week. So for week one, they're going to be turning in those weight, you know, those measurements into them. So we have been able to get participating gyms, sponsors, that are going to open up their doors for the community, and they're going to allow them to exercise for either free or to little cost.
Can you tell us who those gyms
are? Absolutely, if you'd allow me. Yeah,
oh, yes,
definitely.
Please. Go right ahead.
Perfect. Houston Gym, mm-hmm. right off of Durham. They're going to offer our guys from the group a free 30-day guest pass, mm-hmm. And then they're going to give them a discounted rate to join afterwards. We also have several Curves fitness centers that are participating in the Montrose Challenge. Now, Curves, of course, is particularly designed for the ladies.
For ladies.
The ladies.
Ladies only.
But guys
fellas.
Have curves, too.
That's right.
And maybe they don't want the curves.
So. Well, some of us did.
You know, I've got my own, so. But definitely, so the Curves Fitness Centers are participating, Timberline Fitness right here in Montrose. Mm-hmm. These are just a couple of gyms that are going to be sponsoring the event and encouraging all of our participating members as they come out and they basically challenge each other to weight loss success.
Well, you said that tonight. Now, mm-hmm. is it too late for anybody to become part of this?
Absolutely not.
What do we do then?
Basically, you can go to our website at montrosecommunitymeltdown.blogspot.com, and you can actually follow the link to sign up right there on the website. It's really easy, really simple, and we've got some amazing prizes each week for these people that are coming out. We've got door prizes. We're giving away weekly prizes for the top losers. We're going to have a huge finale, just Akin to the Biggest Loser, where people are going to win a shopping spree, a makeover. They're going to actually be featured in Outsmart magazine, you guys. It's amazing.
Really? How interesting.
How many people did you have?
Like, tonight, we actually originally we had about 95 that were registered, and we had about 130 that showed up.
Wow.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm so proud of everyone. They're actually listening. We told them to tune in. So,
well, we thank
hi, you
for
guys.
Yeah, hey. So, is it kind of like a gay Biggest Loser?
It is. It's like a gay gut buster, gay you know? Gut. Exactly. That's what, you know, Outsmart magazine kind of, you know, titled it, The Gay Gut Buster for Montrose. So, we're hoping to, you know, turn this into a bigger thing. You know, we're hoping to do this again.
And there's nothing really like this, I don't think, in the
community. No, not at all. Yeah. I was actually, real quick, I know you guys got to go. I was actually inspired by my mother, who had a huge challenge when I came out and, you know, I was gay.
Yeah.
Just due to our upbringing. But I have to say, I was inspired by her because she actually did a similar event to this. They only had about 125 people out in East Harris County, and they had lost over 800 pounds total as a community out there.
Now, on these prizes, mm-hmm. Do you calculate the percentage or the actual weights? Because there may, you know, did you have a lot of people? Large people
yes.
or medium size?
We had different sizes, different crowd, different groups. Everyone from, you know, the plus size down to, not, you know, probably maybe doesn't need to lose, but about 6 or 7 pounds. But how we're basing it off of is
I want to meet that person.
I know. We're doing it by percentage. So
okay.
It is going to be a percentage of the BMI, which is the body mass index. So that's how the each loser from each team is going to be awarded the weekly prizes.
Okay, so explain to me how that works. So you're talking about the BMI. Some people may not know what BMI is.
Yeah, sure.
They may think it's a bicycle or something.
The body.
Just missed it by a letter or two.
who's counting, you know? The body mass index is basically a percentage of your total weight loss. The body mass index is actually a percentage that is determined, and it's a better percentage that's calculated. How we're actually going, part of the actual weight loss program is we're going to have The Community Meltdown, we're going to have a weight loss program in place, and they're actually going to measure everyone's BMI each week. So they will have an accurate reading, and Sheila Hall, who's going to be the weight management coach, she is actually going to be taking everybody's BMI at the time and explaining all of that stuff to them about what it's about, how it's calculated, and all that fun stuff.
Well, where's all this going to happen? BMI covered in public.
Well, you have that court order that requires you do that, right, Glenn?
That's right.
Now, where would this happen?
This is actually going to take place at the Montrose Counseling Center.
Every
Monday night, it's going to the actual weight loss management group is going to meet at 6 o'clock. The actual weight loss challenge group is going to be at 7. We also have announced tonight at the first meeting that we are going to do a meltdown challenge, kind of like walkathon almost. And we're going to do like a walkathon for everybody to kind of get out there and encourage them to walk every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. over at Memorial Park.
That's so hot.
Oh, no. I told them to bring plenty of water, you know.
You mentioned some of the speakers. Who did you have come and speak and inspire?
We've got some exciting ones, you guys. We actually have our first week, we're going to have Shanna Ross, from Shanna Ross Fitness, right here in the community.
Right.
And she's got her own boot camp series that she's encouraging everyone to come out.
Is that at the park, Memorial Park?
Yes, it sure is.
I've heard about that.
Oh, it's so hard.
I've heard some stories.
I used to do that.
It doesn't encourage me.
Like running
uphill. But it's supposed to be really great. If you're really interested in doing something about your weight and your health, that's
absolutely.
I want to do the least amount of effort for the maximum amount of results.
Amen.
You watch those late night programs with the pills that don't exercise.
I love those.
Brian.
Brian's that way. Who else?
We've got a surprise guest speaker. Ooh. Someone that is well known nationally.
Does he have curly hair?
No, it's not a male. So everyone's going to have to wait and see because this is going to be their key to keep continuing to come out. But they're going to come out 1 week prior to the finale. We also have 2-time Emmy nominated national television producer Robin Craig. She's going to be coming out and talking to us, and she's got an amazing story how she became a widow and how she, again, emotional eating, how that took a role in her life, and how she fluctuated on her weight. And she's going to be looking great. She's getting back into shape because she was just nominated for her second Emmy, and she's going to be going to the Emmy Awards on August 30th, so everyone's going to get the chance to meet her and see her right before they get to see her on television.
Absolutely. That's great. But who else? Anybody else?
We've got, we've got several people. We've got David Lewis from Body by Dave.
I know David.
Right?
Yeah. So we've got Sheila Hall, our personal weight loss coach trainer. She's going to be speaking there. We've got a list of people that are going to be out there. Bailey Moore from State Farm Insurance. He's going to be talking about kind of basically how you can lose weight and how it affects the cost of health insurance and how it affects the life insurance policies and the cost of that.
Your ability to get health insurance, if you could afford it, of course. Because if your weight, your BMI is off,
your blood BMX.
I was going to say BMX, guys.
Your blood pressure's bad. Your cholesterol, all
of these things can be
high blood pressure. There's so many things.
Diabetes.
Yeah.
Low blood pressure too.
Absolutely. We got Jody Wellner right from Legacy Community Health.
She's going
to be coming out. She's got an amazing story as well. She actually her sister was diagnosed with cancer.
And her
story is very touching, and she's got some she's got an amazing story that she's going to share with everybody on and how she turned into researching nutrition and wanting to become more involved with that because of what impact it had on her through her sister's illness.
All right, we got people out there that are listening to us.
Yes.
And they're saying, I want to be part of this. Now, what do they have to do?
There's no specific requirements other than just getting onto that website, signing up for the event, and showing up next Monday. It's www.montrosecommunitymeltdown.blogspot.com.
Okay. And they get on the website, and they just sign up, do whatever?
Follow the link, sign up from there. They'll receive a register confirmation back in their email saying, we want them there, and to show up the following Monday. Now,
you know...
Now, explain again. Somebody, there's 6 o'clock and 7 mm-hmm. o'clock, so explain
yeah,
the,
sure.
who comes when.
Absolutely. At 6 p.m., you guys, what you want to make sure is that the weight loss management program is going to be starting at that time. The weight loss management program is going to be your key to success during this weight loss challenge, along with the proper exercise and the proper nutrition.
So the challenge is at 7, but if you really want to know some stuff, you need to be there at 6.
Be there at 6. At 7 o'clock, we meet for the meltdown challenge.
So you have to exercise to lose weight?
Unfortunately.
What kind of exercise?
Do you have to do cardio and all that?
The kind that requires you to go to gyms and look at hot guys.
I'll tell you, the 24-hour fitness...
I want to go to Curves and look at girls.
You should. The 24-hour fitness in Midtown is now the man candy spot in Montrose.
Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
You're going to have to check that out.
Well, yeah, so it's quite full of inspirational morsels.
Inspirational.
Oh, I think it's getting hot in here. Woo!
Well, give us the information one more time.
Sure. Everyone, you can sign up by visiting our website at www.montrosecommunitymeltdown.blogspot.com. Register online. Send us your email. That will get you signed up. And we'll see you on the following Meltdown event, July 13th.
All right. We've been speaking with Josh Price of the Montrose Community Meltdown. Get on that website and come
out
there. Lose some weight.
Lose some weight.
Absolutely, you guys.
Let's all get bikini ready or Speedo ready right
now.
All right.
That's what we're looking forward to.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
from 2008, and the CD Here With Me. That's enough, thank you. That was Jennifer O'Connor, and actually the title cut from that CD, Here With Me. This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
And in the last segment, we talked about losing weight. Well, now that you've lost weight, maybe you are looking for that special someone.
Yes. If you're already a loser and you really want to make
But you're not a loser. You're just lonely, and you're looking for that special someone.
I'm sorry. I've been single too long. I feel like one.
Well,
half
I have
time.
A lot of friends that are single, and our next guest has the perfect remedy for those who are single, hopelessly single.
Really?
Leslie Caldwell is the founder of Date Night Texas. Hello, Leslie.
Hello. How are you tonight?
Good. So tell us.
What's it about?
Yes, tell us.
You've got somebody, Brian. See, I don't. I want to know.
Well, Date Night Texas, I came up with this idea. Essentially, just I wanted to create an alternative for people to meet people in a different sort of format other than a bar or a club. So often people go out and they meet people and, you know, it's always sort of,
there's always an agenda.
There's always an agenda, and there's usually no substance behind it. And this is an opportunity for you to, you know, truly make some substantive connections with another individual based on things that you have in common. I mean, it is definitely like speed dating, but slightly different. But it still has a premise of really getting to know the individual.
I see. Well, I have to have a little disclaimer. I did meet my partner at Meteor, so
okay.
It is possible. But
no, it is possible.
And
definitely.
I have a lot of friends that are like, I can't meet anybody in Houston.
Right.
You know, this is the dating wasteland.
Right. It's true.
But
it's true.
Houston is a very large. We have a very large community, and not everyone goes out.
So no, that's true.
Maybe this is a way to bring people.
And this is definitely a way to bring those people who don't go out, or people who might be a little too busy to date, or busy to go out, and they want to meet someone, you know, interesting, and someone who they feel fits within who they are, and that's why we want to do this. We want to give those people an opportunity to be able to meet someone nice.
Well, this is a wonderful idea.
Well,
because many of us, you know, I just don't do the club scene,
right?
And
exactly.
So often meeting someone is purely by accident.
Mm-hmm,
I know
mm-hmm.
My last partner, I met her in the lobby of a hotel.
Wow, really?
So
that's amazing.
You know, but you would have never expected something like that.
Exactly.
You just can't hang out in lobbies of hotels looking for
unless you have a certain line
could,
of business.
Well, there know. Are some of those in those
yes,
lobbies
exactly.
of hotels.
So exactly.
This event happens this...
This happens this Saturday,
this Saturday
at the Montrose Counseling Center, 7 p.m. sharp. I have to reiterate, 7 p.m. sharp.
Uh-huh. What's the dress?
The dress is casual. It's a very casual...
Dress to impress.
Dress however you feel comfortable, or if you feel you need to dress. It's not a club. It's not a bar. So you don't have to overdo it. You can just truly be comfortable and be yourself.
So what can people expect? What's going to happen on Saturday?
Well, first of all, you'll see our amazing MC, Todicus, hosting the event. That'll be the first thing that you see.
He's
but
crazy.
The event... The way it really works is when the individuals or participants arrive, they will be given a name tag with their name and a number on it,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll take a seat, and Todicus will introduce the event for the night. And the first part is actually, some would say, is the most fun, but probably the most nerve-wracking part. It's the introduction part. Each individual will have to stand up for about a minute and talk about themselves and say something about themselves. And
can you have more than a minute?
You cannot have more than a minute. It may depend on, you know.
For some people, it's very easy. Like
some
for me,
people, it's
I could
very
talk,
easy. And
but
for
some people, will not.
I've done this event before, and you'll find that there are people who are very comfortable talking, and sometimes you have to tell them to stop talking after 1 minute.
What? What, you talking to me?
And then there are those who are, you know, definitely more challenged in speaking in front of a group of people. But it is in a way, it's kind of... it's a little sort of narcissistic. People have to look at you. You have to, you know, they have to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give people an idea of who you are and can gauge some ideas of, you know, whether or not they're interested in going out with you. So this is a good part. Then the second part is actually more like the speed dating part, which is the meet and greet. And so for about 30 minutes, you can actually have a conversation with whoever you want to. You can walk up to any individual you'd like and strike up a conversation for about a minute, minute and a half. The only rule with that is that if someone does come up and have a conversation with you, whether you're interested in them or not, you do have to have a conversation with them. So at the very least, you've met a new person, whether you're interested or not.
What if no one comes up and talks to you?
Well, that's, you know, well, hopefully you'll have the opportunity to walk up to someone that you like. I mean, this is an opportunity for you to sort of break down those boundaries of, you know, because this is why we've created it, so that people who otherwise would not, you know, walk up to someone in a bar or a club situation, it, you know, they might be more relaxed in doing it in a very, you know, very quiet and safe environment. So
I suddenly had this flashback to middle school when like, you say walk up to somebody and ask to talk and they go, nah, go away.
Exactly. Well, this is why that rule has been in place, so that they can't, well, so essentially they can't get away. But no, it does... It does, you know, allow you to talk to someone and meet them and find out something a little bit more in-depth about them, a little more substantive. And, again, this is yet another process in determining if there's someone there that you are interested in going out with. So after those two parts have finished, we give you a little form, a little computer card, and it has all the numbers of all the participants that are there. And the way it works is if you... find someone that you're interested in, you want to go out on a date with them, you'll put their number down on the computer card, and then if they choose you, then there's the match.
So, okay,
you
put,
so it's a matching system.
Mutual
system.
Thing.
Yeah,
mutual
exactly.
Thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's very mutual. You mutually have to agree that you like to go out on the date. It's not, I like him, I'm going to go out on a date with him. No.
Do you have free counseling afterwards for those that don't have anybody and nobody wants them?
I'm afraid I don't.
I can already tell I'm in trouble.
No, we don't have any counseling. Again,
I deal with rejection all the
time. It's a very discreet process, actually, because when we return the matches to you, only you know whether or not you matched with someone. It's if you don't end up with any matches for the night, only you know that, and you can walk away, and no one will know that you didn't match with someone.
So no walk of shame.
No walk of shame. Absolutely
all right,
not.
I can handle that.
We definitely want to keep one's integrity intact. And then after you have matched up with the individuals, then you'll get together and you'll exchange information and then you'll set up a date. And you must, and that's the other rule, you must go out on the date. And the date is defined as an open forum for about no more than 30 minutes. You know, you can go out for about 30 minutes, and if you like each other, then you can go out longer.
It happens that night?
We do get the matches back to you that night, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Starbucks.
At least that's
full.
What we're... This is our first one, but this is our first one, and there's a slight chance it may not happen, but the idea is to have your matches returned to you at
the end of
the night.
I guess a question I have, being a trans person, is that how do you determine? It's just a group of people, and you go up to whoever you seem interested
right,
in?
Right, exactly. I mean,
because I'm assuming there'll be all GLBT people.
This will be for this event specifically, it will be all men. But
testosterone version.
The testosterone version, yes. But we are definitely going to grow this event. We just want to get the ball rolling and get people, you know.
I think it's a very good event. I mean, there's not really anything like it.
No.
And you know, it's...
Yeah,
and it's neat because all of my friends are boohooing. I can't meet anybody, and I'm like,
yeah, and yet they, you know, find it difficult to engage in, you know, situations like this. And I really want people to be comfortable. This is the whole point. It's supposed to be a comfortable, very casual interaction with different people, and hopefully someone that you like and you might want to go out with.
Very good. Now, how did you come up with this idea? And you said you've done it before?
I have done it before. I did something similar in New York City.
New York?
Yes, that's where I lived for a very long time.
I bet it's hard to date in New York.
It is very hard to date in New York. People, but I think like in any community, I don't think it really matters what city, people have their cliques and people have their groups that they,
totally,
you know,
true.
And so it's hard to break in. New York is a little more difficult to break in.
I would imagine so.
But it does... it does offer you much more variety of people to go out with, whereas Houston is a little bit more limited. But this again is a way that those people who otherwise wouldn't meet you would not even meet these people, or even if they do go out socially, they don't make a point of walking up to people, or people don't walk up to them. But mm-hmm. but they do find that, you know, they could probably end up meeting someone that, you know, they have a great deal in common with, and hopefully in this environment that can happen. So
I like your tagline, you have nothing to lose, so take a chance.
Exactly, you have nothing to lose.
What do you have to lose?
You have nothing to lose. I mean, as I said, you know, we advocate anonymity and privacy, so if you were to walk away with no matches for the night, no one would know that but you. But you can always say, hey, I gave it a shot. And you absolutely have no idea what can happen. So
exactly. Now, it's this Saturday.
It is this Saturday.
7 p.m. sharp. At the Montrose Counseling Center,
yes,
on
exactly.
Bernard Street.
Mm-hmm.
There is a minimal charge, but, you know, it's nothing that a normal night out would...
Exactly.
A night at the bar would...
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, think of... You know, three cocktails you have, and
there you go.
So, and who knows, it could lead to something.
Now, have you gotten a lot of response? Do you think there'll be a lot of people there?
We've definitely gotten a very positive response from it. You know, we have a Facebook page and a MySpace page that we have been, you know, getting the word out. We also have done some advertising in the local publications. So we're definitely getting some responses. I think, like anything else, everyone will wait to the last second to decide whether, okay, I guess I'll go. So I'm really hoping for a great turnout. We've really been putting a lot of time and effort, and definitely having Tauticus on board, I think, will bring out a great deal of people as well. So
if you're out there and you're single and you're tired of being single, and maybe you want to kind of spice it up and maybe find that special someone that you won't find in a bar, this is your opportunity. It's this Saturday, 7 p.m., Date Night, Texas.
Yes.
Anything particular that we need to know that maybe we didn't cover?
You mentioned the MySpace page. Yeah.
The MySpace page is myspace.com/datenighttexas. And then we have the Facebook page, which if you have a Facebook, you can type in Date Night Texas. And you can... we also have on the MySpace page a pre-registration form,
okay,
so that people can pre-register for the event. It's not required for you to pre-register to attend, but it does give us an idea of who will be coming. So,
now, this is for the guys.
This is for the guys for right now, yes.
And you plan on
In fact, in August, we'll be doing two more events. We'll be doing two events a month because we really want to get the word out. But our next event, our events in August, we will actually include a lesbian event.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's really based on our... feedback from the community, what we'll do and how we'll expand. We got a large, you know, I did a lot of canvassing on Pride weekend, and we got a lot of response from women asking, you know, are we going to do an event for them? So because of that, we are going to do another event for them. The one thing I will tell you is that each event will always be a little different. Like, for example, this one this weekend will be a general event. So anyone 18 to 100 can go.
Oh my gosh, that's a wide range.
Yes, exactly. Well, because we don't want to limit anyone for the very first one. But we are having another event on July the 25th. At the same Montrose Counseling Center at the same time, and we'll be specifically gearing that to 20s and 30s. So So each event will always be different. It'll go anywhere from, you know, age specific groups to professionals to creative to HIV positive. We'd like, you know, people who are, you know, people who are HIV positive would like to meet people you know, it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously now we're going to do women as well, so we're gonna keep it very open for everybody.
Okay, so I'm hearing the gays and the lesbians. Where do the T's fit in?
Well, I haven't had any response for the. From
well,
the,
I am the voice of the T.
Are you? Okay.
I'm putting him on the spot.
Well, and you know what? And it's not really a question of that. It's just that, again, if there is a large enough response or people saying we'd like to see our community or CR group you know, included, then we will do that. We don't want to exclude anyone. So
if there's a lesbian event, I can't come? Is that what you're saying?
No, you can come.
Man, Jennifer, you put
you should be allowed to come to anyone you want. But no, certainly, again,
you just can't come to the first one.
Yeah, just not the first two, but definitely no. And I think that it's we need that support from the community to tell us what we need, who we need to attract next, or right. who we need to market to next. So, if there is a large enough group of people that want to do that, then I certainly.
Not to belabor the point, it's difficult enough for trans people mm-hmm. to be able to socialize because,
right.
you know, where do you fit?
Right.
Gay men or lesbian women
right.
or where you fall? And for an event like this, which is really geared for those people who don't hang out at the clubs to
right.
meet someone, that's why I'm asking the question.
No, I
believe it or not, the T's no longer silent.
Okay. I absolutely agree with that. No, again, as I said, we would definitely be open to doing that event. It's not, mm-hmm. it's just that, you know, I would want to get, you know, some feedback from the, from the transgender community specifically to, you know how one would market to them and what they're looking for. So
this is your capital T right here.
Well, I think that I will be getting in touch with you to find out more. So.
Yeah, please do.
I will, definitely.
The community as a whole has been always isolated from the G and the L.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And
but you know, there's so many gay men that can't find a partner for
no, them. And that's just it.
You don't usually find a husband on a Saturday night, you know, at the bar.
Never.
I think for me one of the motivating
Mr.
factors
right now.
Is as you know I should tell you I'm also single so
you are wait
I am
oh
right.
So this is an all in and
no I absolutely
have you ever dated a T?
I have not actually I can't say that I have but no I won't be participating I'm just facilitating
we can have our own private
if we can have one matching. That would be great, but I'm
right, exactly. I think that's how it starts. I think that's how people will say, okay, this is something that could work, and we really think that we should try it as well.
It's an opportunity to get people who wouldn't normally mixing with one another to a location.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Because
yeah,
there are so many people out there that spend a lot of lonely nights that this gives them an opportunity to meet someone and possibly find...
You know, I think that when people are going out and meeting people, you know, in the bars and the clubs on the weekends, and, you know, there's a chance they may meet someone and they may connect for a brief period of time, and then one day they wake up and they look at the other one and they look at each other and they go, why exactly are we together? what exactly is... So, you know, this is something based on true compatibility. You know, really finding someone that you...
Oh, it sounds like eHarmony.
See, I was about to say, it sounds like an eHarmony commercial.
Know, aside from the... Christian agenda that's like, you know, underlined under that. Yeah. No, but we want you to find someone that you can really get along with and have something in common.
And that's
with.
A beautiful thing.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I applaud that.
Well, thank you.
And I am sure in New York, how did that go?
Just in New York, it went very well because, again, it's, you know, New York, as you know, is the melting pot of this of the world. So, you know, a lot of different people came out, and again, New York is a bigger city, so it's definitely a lot more difficult.
So transitory, there's so many people.
It's a very transient city,
yeah.
So it was definitely a lot more difficult. And this is an opportunity for people who may have been tired of meeting people and finding out, oh, they're just in town for business, or they're just, you know, here for 6 months, or whatever their reasons are. You know, certainly Houston doesn't have that same issue, so this is something that offers permanent options for people because most of the people live here.
Yes, we're looking for someone special in our night life.
Exactly.
Not a hostage.
We're fighting for gay marriage, so you want to, you know...
Well, you got to have somebody.
Exactly.
Eventually, when we knock on wood...
We have to give wedding planners something to do.
Yes, exactly. So, Leslie, how can people get in contact with you? What's the best way?
The best way to get in touch with this is through the MySpace page and the Facebook page, but we also have a phone number. It's 713-469-2368, and they can call with any questions that they might have, and we're more than happy to answer. Well, it's me, but
so
I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
What would you suggest people wear on Saturday?
I would suggest that you wear something that you're comfortable in. This is about being comfortable. I'm not asking, you don't have to put on a three-piece suit,
okay.
And, you know, you know, and your best shoes. You can wear sneakers, you can wear flip-flops, you can wear shorts, you can wear whatever you feel most comfortable in. And if you feel most comfortable in your club wear, then that's fine too. We're not, there's no dress code. It's okay. It's no dress code required. So okay.
Is there anything that we missed?
I don't think so. I think we've pretty much covered everything.
And it's this Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
Event. So
this Saturday, we really, really hope that you guys can come out, 7 p.m. Yeah. And I think it's going to be exciting. And we have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose, exactly.
And everything to gain.
Everything to gain.
Oh, perfect.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so
and
much.
And please come out and visit him on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
U.S. President Barack Obama had an interesting LGBT Pride Month, to say the least. First, he received heavy fire from equality advocates for the horribly offensive language in his Department of Justice's federal court brief supporting the Defense of Marriage Act. Several high-profile community leaders registered their disappointment in Obama's failure to deliver on key campaign promises by boycotting an annual LGBT fundraising dinner for the Democratic National Committee, or DNC. The president closed out his Pride Month experience on June 29th by hosting an official White House reception for some 300 LGBT movers and shakers. With First Lady Michelle Obama at his side, he acknowledged the impatience and trumpeted what he's done so far. Here are some highlights.
Welcome to your White House. It's good to see so many friends and familiar faces. And I deeply appreciate the support I've received from so many of you. Michelle appreciates it, and I want you to know that you have our support as well. You have my thanks for the work you do every day in pursuit of equality on behalf of the millions of people in this country who work hard and care about their communities and who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Even as we face extraordinary challenges as a nation, we cannot and will not put aside issues of basic equality. We seek an America in which no one feels the pain of discrimination based on who you are or who you love. And I know that many in this room don't believe that progress has come fast enough. And I understand that. It's not for me to tell you to be patient any more than it was for others to counsel patience to African Americans who were petitioning for equal rights a half century ago. But I say this, we have made progress, and we will make more. And I want you to know that I expect and hope to be judged not by words, not by promises I've made, but by the promises that my administration keeps. We've been in office 6 months now. I suspect that by the time this administration is over, I think you guys will have pretty good feelings about the Obama administration. While there is much more work to do, we can point to important changes we've already put in place since coming into office. I've signed a memorandum requiring all agencies to extend as many federal benefits as possible to LGBT families as current law allows. And these are benefits that will make a real difference for federal employees and Foreign Service officers, who are so often treated as if their families don't exist. I've called on Congress to repeal the so-called Defense of Marriage Act to help end discrimination against same-sex couples in this country. Now, I want to add, we have a duty to uphold existing law, but I believe we must do so in a way that does not exacerbate old divides. And fulfilling this duty in upholding the law in no way lessens my commitment to reversing this law. I've made that clear. I'm also urging Congress to pass the Domestic Partners Benefits and Obligations Act, which will guarantee the full range of benefits, including health care, to LGBT couples and their children. My administration is also working hard to pass an employee non-discrimination bill and hate crimes bill, and we're making progress on both fronts. Finally, I want to say a word about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. As I said before, I'll say it again, I believe Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't contribute to our national security. In fact, I believe preventing patriotic Americans from serving their country weakens our national security. My administration's already working with the Pentagon and members of the House and the Senate on how we'll go about ending this policy, which will require an act of Congress. I know that every day that passes without a resolution is a deep disappointment to those men and women who continue to be discharged under this policy. Patriots who often possess critical language skills and years of training and who've served this country well. But what I hope is that these cases underscore the urgency of reversing this policy, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it is essential for our national security. Now, there are good and decent people in this country who don't yet fully embrace their gay brothers and sisters. Not yet. We are all witnesses to monumental changes in this country. That should give us hope, but we cannot rest. We must continue to do our part to make progress step by step, law by law, mind by changing mind. And I want you to know that in this task, I will not only be your friend, I will continue to be an ally and a champion and a president who fights with you and for you. Thanks very much, everybody. God bless you.
U.S. President Barack Obama, addressing an unabashedly admiring audience of LGBT officials and community activists at a White House Pride reception on June 29th. Kate Kendall of the National Center for Lesbian Rights got front row seats at the reception for herself and her son, quite a birthday gift for 13-year-old Julian. Kendall wrote in her blog about the president's approach to the Defense of Marriage Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell that he clearly wants a tipping point of consensus on these issues, and particularly with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, his leadership now in at least issuing a stop loss order would be entirely justified and a demonstrable action to back up his inspiring rhetoric. Kendall ended her comments with a nod to Julian. My son is still basking in the glow of meeting the president and hearing him speak, she wrote. He, as a 13-year-old biracial kid with both an African-American and a white lesbian mom, sees this man as a champion for his family and other families like his. Right now, Julian thinks he got about the best 13-year-old birthday any kid could ever get. Please, Mr. President, honor his trust. Perhaps the best demonstration of queer impatience with Obama and his Democratic Party's failure to deliver on their promises came in an open letter posted at Salon.com by someone named Liam.
Dear DNC, I am a fierce advocate of the Democratic Party. I know that I have promised you my support over the past few decades and have done my best to follow through. Even now, I am working towards a financial donation to the party. I do have to ask for your patience, though, because as a gay man, my family and I are still second-class citizens and are having to funnel our resources towards causes that protect and honor our basic civil rights. We have a lot on our plate right now. We are proceeding towards lifting the denial of funds to the DNC and are developing a strategy that will get us there by the end of Obama's time at the White House. Thanks for understanding and hang in there.
It's only words, and words are all I have to take your heart away.
With thanks to Christopher David Trentum and the Bee Gees, I'm Greg Gordon. New York City's Hetrick Martin Institute has provided a safety net to LGBTQ youth for 30 years. Our Steve Pride went to the head of the class.
The Harvey Milk High School for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Questioning Youth is technically and physically housed within the Hetrick Martin Institute in New York City. And when the bell rings at 3 p.m., some kids leave, some kids stay, and surprisingly, some kids arrive.
My name is Thomas Crever. I'm the executive director of the Hetrick Martin Institute. I've been with the organization. May 1st was my 6th year anniversary, but I've been in the capacity as executive director now 2 years. Hetrick Martin Institute is the nation's oldest and largest LGBTQ, and that means lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth service organization, now in its 30th year. We provide services on site in New York City and the tri-state area for young people between the ages of 12 up and through 21. Everything from supportive services such as counseling and case management to HIV testing to pregnancy testing for young lesbians, as well as job readiness, career exploration, a hot meal, showers, washer and dryer services, free clothing. All services are always year-round and free for the young people.
Why is this still so necessary in 2009?
As far as we've come in this country, we still live in a society where the social stigma and sense of isolation for young people is just, it's traumatic, if not dramatic. We've just witnessed, unfortunately, tragedies across the country around young people as early as 11 years old committing suicide, not even because they were gay or lesbian, but because of allegations of being gay or lesbian.
Why is it called Hedrick Martin?
Patrick and Martin were partners who founded the organization in the early 70s out of a sense of advocacy. They witnessed during that time that the young people in this nation, particularly LGBTQ, had no voice. And so they gave voice to what was an invisible population. And that quickly grew. You know, we use the mantra, if you build it, they will come. Well, advocacy turned almost immediately to direct service within the first few years because there was such a vacuum in society for providing services.
And how is Hedrick Martin related to the Harvey Milk High School?
Harvey Milk High School is actually located and operates fully within the space of the Hedrick Martin Institute. It was actually created by the Hedrick Martin Institute in 1985. It's now what is called a fully functioning transfer public high school. So it's run by the New York City Department of Ed. And the one thing that all the young people have in common that go to the school is they've all unfortunately suffered from physical, mental, and or emotional duress. Duress to such an extent that their education has been impeded or halted. And that's usually because of verbal, physical, or mental abuse.
Besides the school, what other programs do you offer?
During the day, it's as much a high school as you'll witness anywhere else in the country. Of course, the caveat that all of them are there seeking refuge and safety. But they get the math, they get the science, they get those three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and have to graduate meeting the New York State learning standards to be eligible for a diploma. But after that, the doors open at 3 o'clock, and 1,000 young people from over 200 zip codes from the tri-state area seek out our services daily. Everything from an HIV test to crisis counseling to application or resume assistance to job placement and college SAT prep. It's all on site. And then at the end of each day, we provide a hot meal. And for some young people, it might be the only hot meal they've had that day.
Working with LGBTQ kids, is there anything in particular that surprises you?
There's been a study that's gone across 8 different states, and they've all shown conclusively that lesbians are 2 times more likely to have pregnancies in their lives than heterosexual or straight-identified women. And so what that's screaming out, the clarion call for us, if you will, is that we are focusing our attention, as well we should be, our message of contraception and condom usage and safe sex on the gay boys. And young women are just as curious or going through the same healthy process of self-exploration and discovering who they are, and they need those messages just as importantly. They also have the compounded risk of not only are they at risk for pregnancy, but they tend to sleep with those that they're most familiar or comfortable with, and those are sometimes the gay boys. And so we live in a country where men who have sex with men, particularly young men of color, between the ages of 13 and 19, are 3 times greater risk for HIV, STD, STIs. And so young women have that as well as a threat to them. So we really need to focus on that. And so at Hedrick Martin now, yes, we have also instituted on-site pregnancy tests.
Tell me about the Give Them Hope Now campaign.
The Hedrick Martin Institute is in partnership with Levi's as well as with Regent Media, and givethemhopenow.org is the website to help us to provide. What we're doing is building a liquidity reserve fund or reserve fund. right now in the society, there is no economic bailout on the horizon for nonprofits, no nonprofit stimulus package. So that sector has been in particular hit hard, if not hardest. And so what we're witnessing at Hetrick Martin is our services are growing exponentially, but our funding revenue streams are decreasing dramatically.
This has been a conversation with Thomas Crever, Executive Director of the Hetrick Martin Institute, home of the Harvey Milk High School in New York City. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Mama will never understand why you had to leave, but the answers you seek will never be found.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, Christopher David Trentum, Rex Walker with Bill Kelly, and Steve Pride contributed program material. The Bee Gees and Bronski Beat performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is underwritten in part by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to CDs of our programs. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KMUDNE, Garberville, Arcata, and Eureka, California, 5KIX, Kangaroo Island, South Australia, WERU, Bangor and Blue Hill Falls, Maine, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Hi there. I'm KPFT Program Director Ernesto Aguilar. KPFT is taking a brief break from our regular programming this moment to remind you about KPFT and Pacifica's board elections happening this year. Board elections are incredibly important. Good governance helps on a number of different levels, from fundraising to outreach and much more. We're taking this break from our regular programming to encourage you to vote in these elections later this year and to consider becoming a candidate for our local station board. The nominations period is right now and closes July 15th. So your opportunity to be a candidate for our local station board is now, but is ending very soon. Please listen in for these next few minutes as we educate you about the elections, the voting process, the nominations process, and much, much more. Along the way, we'll give out contact information for our local election supervisor, so you may want to get a pen and be ready to write down a little bit of information. However, if you don't have a writing instrument handy, you can find all this information at kpft.org. You can also find this information at pacificafoundation.org. Your participation in this election makes a big difference. We do require a quorum of voters for the elections to be certified. Elections are an expensive business, and we don't want money to go out the window, so we want you to please vote. We also want you to run, so please stay tuned and learn a little bit more about these elections and how to participate. Again, I'm Ernesto Aguilar, KPFT's Program Director, thanking you for your support of KPFT Houston. Please stay tuned and learn a little bit more about how you can be involved in this year's KPFT elections.
Greetings to all people listening to these airwaves. I'm Mo, here with Allison, to encourage you to participate in the local station board elections as a candidate, voter, or by helping with community outreach efforts.
Wait.
I didn't know we were in the middle of an election. I mean, we just had a major breakthrough.
This is an election for KPFT's local station board. KPFT is a part of Pacifica Radio, America's oldest independent media network, which is also the last radio network with a democratically elected board. The KPFT station board has the power to make or break the station as we know it.
So what do you mean by make or break? I mean, if I decided to run, you mean I will actually have a say? Or is it just a title that will look good on my resume?
Well, yeah, the local station board has a lot of power, as well as responsibilities. Furthermore, I think that by participating in the board, you will not only enrich your resume, but you will enrich your life.
So?
Okay, you're very impatient. I'm getting to it, okay?
Yeah. But, you know, I've got a lot of things to do, so keep it snappy.
The primary teeth that the local station board has are controlling the budget, and we all know money talks. The local station board delegates must review and approve the station's budget. In approving funding for the stations, LSB is responsible for ensuring that the programming pushes forward the Pacifica mission to promote peace and justice through communication between all races, nationalities, and cultures. The local station board works with management to ensure that programs represent the needs of listeners and communities served by the station.
How does the LSB find out what the people need? I mean, I know what I mean, and I think I may have a fairly good idea about what others in my community need. But I would imagine you need to have a more formal way, some method to find this out.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A main responsibility is to reach out to underrepresented communities to help serve people of all ages, ethnicities, social class, sexual orientations, and genders. You should really get involved. If you want to make a change and get your voice heard, now is your chance.
Wow. If I were to run and win, looks like I could help make some real changes, or at least start the process.
I'm happy you're inspired.
So what are the requirements to run as a candidate?
You need to be a current member of KPFT by July 14th, either by renewing your membership or becoming a new member. If you haven't done this yet, you will need to make a minimum annual donation of $25 or perform 3 hours of volunteer work for KPFT. You can become a member by calling the station or visiting kpft.org and making a donation.
And?
You need to complete the candidate nomination package posted on Pacifica's website at www.pacifica.org or get a hard copy from your local election supervisor.
So, when is this nomination package thingy due, and what does it consist of?
All of your written materials must be returned before midnight, July 15th, in order to qualify as a listener candidate. These materials include 15 valid signatures of people you know are current members of your station.
I don't know if I even know 15 people in this entire world.
What?
Just kidding.
Where was I? Oh, here. In addition to the petition, you must complete a 500-word essay about the reasons why you want to run, and you have to answer a list of questions about your qualifications for the local station board.
Okay.
If you really want to get elected, the sooner your nomination papers are received and verified, the sooner your information can be posted on the station's website and therefore viewed by all those interested in voting. Speaking of which, we strongly encourage all of you out there listening to participate as voters. As a voter, you also have to be a member, so renew your membership or become a new member before July 14th so you can participate.
Hey, you know I'm still here. So once I finish this nomination package thingy and get all the people in the world I know to sign my petition, what's next?
What's next? Then the campaign begins. Campaigning runs from July 15th till the end of October.
Hold on. I've never been a candidate. Well, I did try to. Never mind. Explain, please. If I'm a candidate, where do I campaign?
The local election supervisor has to ensure that you, as a listener candidate, will have several on-air and in-person opportunities to make your opinions known to the voting public and to debate with the other listener candidates during the election period. By the way, everyone who's listening, you can support the democratic process by helping organize these community forum events. Please contact your local election supervisor if you want to get involved in any way. It could be as simple as an announcement at an already ongoing event or a full-fledged forum accompanied by music and food. Every little bit helps.
Music and food? That sounds good. I'm kind of hungry.
Sorry, Allison. I didn't bring any food. Do you have any more questions for me?
Well, what's after the campaign period?
Well, then there's the voting period. It runs from August 29th through midnight October 14th. The voters will have a chance to choose at least one person who will represent them and their interests on the board. Through the use of the single transferable voting method, voters will all be given an opportunity for proportional representation.
What's single transferable vote? I mean, vote. Never heard of it.
I wouldn't have expected you to have. It's not the system we use in our two-party, quote-unquote, democracy. Let me see if I can explain this simply. The single transferable vote, or STV, is a system of preferential voting designed to minimize wasted votes and provide proportional representation. Practically speaking, we have candidates and we rank them in order of preference.
What? Do I have to rank all 9 or just the few that I know?
Let me explain more clearly. You could just put your first choice, but if your first doesn't win, your vote is lost. With this system of voting, you can rank your first, second, and third choices. Once the first choice is removed from the ballot, your vote counts for your second choice. This way, there's a greater chance that your vote will count in the end. Isn't it better that your second choice be represented than not being represented at all?
It would appear so. I'm still a bit fuzzy on the mathematics of it all. So after we do the single transferable vote, then what happens?
The ballots are counted. The election has to be certified by the National Election Supervisor by November 15th. If there are challenges to the election, they have to be addressed prior to the 15th. The election process is overseen by each station's local election supervisor and by the National Election Supervisor, Les Radke. With the cooperation of management, election supervisors, staff, and listeners, we are expecting a broad, transparent election. I hope that you decide to run, Allison.
Okie dokie, I'll think about it. This is a chance to get my voice heard and represent my community. It beats yelling into oblivion about all the things I wish I could change. A noble sauce. Oops, I mean cause. Food is on the brain, since you mentioned.
Well, then let me untie your chains and free you from the bonds of the station network cell so you can get a bite to eat. But before you leave, don't forget to run. If you are elected, the new board meets in December and begins their new term of office.
Okay, now I really gotta run for a bite. See ya.
Thank you. So in closing, I want to encourage all those who are listening to participate in this election. You can really play a role in determining the future of KPFT and the Pacifica Network. It's an opportunity to participate in a real democratic process. Please spread the word about the election to others, listeners, and members. There will be multiple community forums, so please keep an ear open for the dates and times of these important events. People with disabilities or other special needs will be able to obtain voting materials and nomination packages by calling 713-526-4000, extension 303, or writing to election@kpft.org. Check out pacifica.org for more information. Many thanks for supporting KPFT and Pacifica's mission to promote peace and social justice.
Fox News.
Hello, I'm someone with a passion to bring factual information to the people who need it.
Go away, we're busy doing propaganda.
CNN.
Hello, I understand numbers. I want to help your organization get on sound financial ground and leap into the future.
No positive thinkers need apply.
KPRC.
Hi, I'm a listener and I want to help make decisions.
A listener? Hey, there's a listener out here, guys. Can you believe it?
Hey, I want to help.
Welcome, come right in. We need you.
Hi, I'm Melanie White, asking you to become a candidate in our local station board election. Confirm or renew your membership and complete the candidate nomination package posted on Pacifica's website before July 15th. Call Ann Shaw at 713-526-4000, extension 303, or email to election@kpft.org for voting information and more. Again, that's local election supervisor Ann Shaw at 713-526-4000, extension 303, or email election@kpft.org.
This is not a fundraising plea. It's an alert from the Pacifica Radio Network to you, KPFT listeners. This year marks the 60th anniversary of the Pacifica Foundation, a beacon of listener-supported, non-commercial free media since 1949 and 1970 here in Houston.
There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's 5 local station boards.
You can help keep KPFT Pacifica Radio alive and get your voice heard by running for your KPFT station board and voting for the listener candidates this fall.
Members of the local station board shape the future of KPFT and are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community into the dialogue between the local community and the station.
Nominations are now open for the 2009 KPFT local station board election.
Complete election information is available on our website at kpft.org.
And contact the KPFT election supervisor to receive a nomination package by writing an email to election@kpft.org or call 713-526-4000. Extension 303. That's 526-4000, extension 303. July 15th is the deadline for nominations to the KPFT Local Station Board. How can you keep Pacifica alive? With all its diverse truth and insanity, run for the KPFT Local Station Board and bring in good governance. Push forward the Pacifica mission to promote peace and justice through communication between all races, nationalities, and cultures. You can become active in the elections by calling KPFT Election Supervisor Ann Shaw at 713-526-4000, extension 303, or send her an email at election@kpft.org.
There are three ways to qualify to vote and run. Listener candidates can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. Volunteers can complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Or a special waiver can be requested from the local station board.
In order to participate, you just need to be a current member of the station.
Complete election information is available on our website at kpft.org.
And contact the KPFT local election supervisor to receive a nomination packet by writing an email, election@kpft.org, or calling 713-526-4000, extension 303.
Nomination for the board are open now and will continue until July 15th. After the nomination process is complete, we'll post candidate data online and host on-air candidate forums and throw a few Meet the Candidate events around the community. Qualified voters will receive their ballots in the mail starting August 29th. Completed ballots will be due by October 15th.
Remember, July 15th is the deadline for nominations. This is your Radio for Peace, listener-sponsored, commercial-free, KPFT Houston.
Listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
We're supposed to wear costumes to the KPFT auction. It's a wear that funky costume kind of thing. Fabulous prizes will be awarded to the most awesome, weird, provocative, strange, ecstatic, unemployed, disastrous moment collage of creativity ever put on the KPFT listener body. If decorating your body isn't enough, you could buy a table and decorate it too. Place elephants, giraffes, gorillas, monkeys, lions, cats, cardboard cutouts, posers, fake pirates, runaway radios, ex-spouses, sod, trees, airplanes, boats, trains, surgeons, giant squids, and useless junk on your table. Eat around it, drink around it, share what it means with you. It may be therapeutic, but probably not. More likely just embarrassing. But if you take the grand prize home, who cares? Saturday evening, July 18th, kpftauction.org. Be there. KPFT, kicking intolerant butt for over 30 years.
You're listening to KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM.
KPFT is currently accepting nominations for delegates to the local station board. The local station board is composed of listeners, volunteers, and staff elected to bring diverse voices from our region into the dialogue between community and the station and to assist with fundraising, community outreach, program support, and general governance. The local station board, quite simply, shapes the future of KPFT. There are three ways to qualify to vote and run. Contribute at least $25 to one of the stations, complete 30 or more verified hours, or obtain a special waiver from the local station board. Complete voting, nomination, and deadline information is at kpft.org, or you can contact our local election supervisor, Ann Shaw, at election@kpft.org or 713-526-4000, extension 303. We're looking for board delegates who have fresh perspectives, creative energy, and a dedication to bring together all aspects of the community that's at the heart of KPFT's mission. We hope you'll join us. KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.